Chapter 11. Winnie's Escape. A few moments later, Winnie suddenly realized what she had done. She was terrified. She knew what happened to murderers in England. They were hanged. She couldn't let that happen. She ran through the shop, out of the door, and down the street, thinking, "I'll drown myself in the river." Suddenly, someone stopped her. It was Alexander Ossipon, looking at her with a worried expression. "Winnie, you've got no coat. You must be cold. I'll walk you home," he said quietly, and she let him guide her towards her flat on Brett Street. "I was on my way to visit you. I wanted to tell you that I'm terribly sorry about what happened to Verloc." Although he spoke very sweetly, he was thinking mainly of the money Verloc might have in the bank. Ossipon had no regular job, and it was his many girlfriends who gave him money. Perhaps Winnie could become one of his girlfriends and give him some money too. "So, you know what happened?" Winnie asked. She didn't understand how Ossipon could know, but nothing made sense to her anymore. "Yes, I do," Ossipon said quietly, as he wondered how much the shop might be worth. "For 7 years I was a good wife to Adolf," Winnie said slowly. "I never loved him, though. I had a sick mother and a retarded brother, and I had to marry someone who could support us all, someone with a bit of money. Verloc always seemed to have more than enough money. And now he's dead." "Who told you about the bomb?" he asked. "Chief Inspector Heat," Winnie answered. Ossipon wondered how the police knew that Verloc had been the bomber, but he was relieved, because now they wouldn't blame the anarchists for the bombing. When they reached the shop, Winnie opened the door and said in a desperate voice, "Alexander, I must leave England immediately. Please help me. I have plenty of money." She took the wallet out of her pocket and showed it to Ossipon. When he saw that it was full of banknotes, Ossipon had an even better idea than trying to make Winnie one of his girlfriends. He didn't understand why it was so important to her to leave England, but it fitted his new plan. "My coat is upstairs in the cupboard near the living room door. Please get it for me. I can't go up there," Winnie said in the same desperate voice. After finding Winnie's coat, Ossipon saw the shocking sight of Verloc on the sofa, a knife in his chest and blood on the floor. Now he understood why Winnie wanted to leave the country quickly. He was a little scared of her now, but the temptation of her money gave him courage. "Did you kill him all by yourself?" Ossipon asked Winnie quietly when he was back downstairs again. "Yes," she whispered. "Why?" Ossipon asked. "Adolf made my brother Stevie carry the bomb. It was Stevie who was killed," Winnie said, and she started to cry. Thinking quickly, Ossipon said, "There's a late-night train to the port of Southampton. From there we'll take the cross-channel boat to Saint-Malo in France, and then continue to Paris. The police will never find you there." "Oh, Alexander," Winnie said, "I feel so safe with you." Taking the money from her would be simple, Ossipon thought. He had a good plan. At the station, Ossipon said, as if embarrassed, "Winnie, I need some money to buy the tickets." "Here, take the wallet. Buy the tickets and look after the money for me," Winnie said, and gave the wallet to Ossipon. Although Ossipon was tempted to escape with her money right then, he feared that she would run after him, shouting. There were two policemen in the station, and the last thing Ossipon wanted was to be arrested for stealing Winnie's money. No, he thought. He had to follow his plan patiently. There were very few people on the train to Southampton, and Winnie and Ossipon got into an empty carriage. Before the train left the station, Ossipon gave Winnie her ticket to Saint-Malo and smiled at her. Then, suddenly, as soon as the train began to move, he got up quickly, opened the carriage door, and jumped off the train. As he rolled on the ground, he kept his hand carefully over the wallet in his pocket